settling in on this Canada Day. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. July 1st, NHL signing season. We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Sit back, relax for the next couple hours.
Michael,
have a cold one or two.
Pezzetta, EliteProspects.com.
The news will continue to filter in. We will go through all of the names in the next 2 hours, so don't worry about it. We'll have some good conversations on what we like, what we don't like. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the biggest story of the last 24 hours, Sammy.
Yeah.
The official news that Mitch Marner was, in fact, signed and traded. Not often that we see this time of year, but it definitely happened the way we probably thought it was going to happen.
Full credit to you for a non-insider. I think you nailed his exact contract and the trade. So, you know, congrats there.
Yeah.
By the way, Pezzetta, 2 years times 787,000 for the Toronto Maple Leafs. My boy, Pezzetta, son.
In the city of Toronto, with the cost of living, he'll owe money at the end of
this
contract.
That's a tough one. But he'll be okay.
It is really, really tough
city. He's
not going
to pay for any meals.
Tanner Janot in Boston, 5 years. $3.4 million, according to Free.
What is going on? Like, he's been bounced around like crazy. He's been valued beyond belief, either in...
He got traded for an entire draft class from Tampa.
A draft class. Yeah. And even this contract. Like, I like him and I get what he brings.
Yeah.
But every time I watch this guy, it's like, it's not a full meal value here.
A little quieter than you would hope.
I get he can beat people up. I get he's scary when he fights.
He can beat people up. He can score 20 goals. He can do things.
But he not enough for anybody to want to keep him for very long.
No. I had said that I would like the player for the Leafs. But now that they have discount Tanner Janot.
Dollar store
Janot and Pezzetta. Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay. The Mitch Marner era in Toronto is officially over.
Mm-hmm.
And now tell me something. Is this something that we're going to see over the next week, the next summer, or the next year, that people will continually discuss this to the point where we have to crown him a hero or a villain? Mm-hmm. Or is this just going to die down?
You know, I think everyone is justified in getting it out of their systems right now. You know, like
that's a good way of putting it.
Right. I mean, this is, God, it's led to a real head here, and we finally got movement. We know he went to Vegas. I think there's been a lot written. Luke Fox wrote an excellent piece on him on sportsnet.ca, which I highly recommend you check out. I know The Athletic did a couple. Down Goes Brown, Sean McIndoe, did a piece where he argued with himself about Marner being both a, you know, hero and a villain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. That's all happening right now. I do think that this is all going to soften with time for Marner and the perception of his time here in Toronto. You know, I think a pretty good kid who probably took it pretty hard. And, you know, it goes two ways and all that. But I think once it works through this initial assessment, I think it'll be okay.
I mean, Vince Carter has his number hanging in the rafters at Scotiabank Arena,
Sammy.
So anything's possible.
Yeah.
But I do think for the first couple of years of this, it'll be pretty bad, I would imagine.
I think you're right.
I don't know who actually goes to games versus like the online
That's
perception.
A good point.
Because I think, you know, any social media for any fan base of any team, it's not going to be pretty for a lot of this stuff. And I think the disconnect between who actually attends games versus who is sending, you know, Instagram DMs and commenting, it's a very different group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there'll be a light smattering of boos when he returns to Scotiabank Arena.
It might be stronger than that.
I don't know. Maybe I'm way off on this, but I really don't think, like, half those people are just, you know, they're getting red wine. Like, I think it's a very different, maybe from the upper deck, the boos will be coming down. But I can't help but sit here and say that it's a pretty bad day for the Leafs and for Mitch Marner in terms of just legacies on both sides.
Yeah.
It's tough. So
No winners.
I think the direct correlation between boos or cheers is directly related to where the success of the team is at that point.
Great point.
Right?
Yeah, like the team's struggling.
First of all, is Vegas coming in October, or are they coming in March? Are the Leafs comfortably leading the Atlantic Division? Are they chasing a wild card spot? Mm-hmm. Where are the Leafs? Did they just win four in a row? Did they lose four in a row when he comes in? That, to me, will be the biggest telling tale of where they are reminded when Mitch Marner comes in town. And if he's part of the problem of what's happening in that present moment.
But if the relationship with him and the reaction to him is that lightly affected by things like schedule, performance, whatever, I think that's a good thing long-term for Mitch. As things soften and you get away from it, if it is in the first year affected by how they're doing at that moment, I think long-term it's a good thing. The Vince Carter thing is why I'm talking like this.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, you know, Mitch didn't come out and say F the city of Toronto or anything like that. You know, he didn't want to be here, didn't want to play for the team.
Carter's was really ugly.
Carter's Vince was uglier Carter? Than this yeah. by a substantial amount.
I can't remember. Just jog my memory.
Wow. He basically quit on it.
He was like, I'm not going to dunk anymore. He was telling opposing players their plays, like on the inbounds. Like he was publicly quitting on the Toronto Raptors.
Like I think Mitch didn't succeed, but he tried to succeed.
Why would he?
Kipper, that's a great question, buddy. How much time you got?
Why is his name up in the rafters?
Because
a lot of people don't think it should be.
I think because they won. The Toronto Raptors won, and it softened the blow of everything. And it was just kind of, you zoomed out and you're like, oh, well, you know, there was some good times with them and the Carter effect and like all these players and.
And teams want to celebrate their past because it ties those fans to the franchise with nostalgia, right? It keeps people from this generation who grew up watching Mitch, a 19-year-old right now, 20 years from now, that guy's 39. He's telling people, you should have seen the plays this kid used to make, whatever. It'll get there for Mitch. It isn't there now, and I don't think it should be there now.
It's going to be much like the Vince Carter thing, where there's going to be a certain faction of the fan base. And there was a ton of people who I argued with vehemently. I argued with them that there's no way it should come around. There's no way it should come around. But there's a huge portion of the fan base that said he had a huge effect on the Raptors, all that. And there's a big portion of the Toronto Maple Leafs fan base that still thinks that Marner this and Marner that, they shouldn't let him go, all that. And it'll just be one of these things that we discuss for the rest of our time. That's just... It's sports talk. That's what happens.
And now it's Nick Waugh, baby.
Well,
I hope that kid also has, like, fans should not tie Nick Waugh to Mitch Marner at all. He's a player they acquired. There's nothing to do with Marner.
You'll remember this one-for-one trade 20 years from now.
Yeah, you will remember it.
Just for the sole purpose.
Just that graphic.
Yes.
The graphic that they put out, the tough graphic.
It's just...
Would you have passed on that graphic?
Well, Vegas put it out.
Vegas is like, oh, here you go. Like, yeah, this is, you know.
But it's like...
A little different than Rantanen.
Had we been here, sitting here saying... Marner walked away for nothing, and then they went out and signed Nick Waugh. They're separate events to me. It was just like a way to acquire a guy.
You think it was real important for Brad Treliving to not be known for the guy that let him walk out the door for absolutely nothing?
Doesn't hurt.
Part of the equation here?
Well, I mean, whether you think
something?
It's for perception or not, he helped the team get better than getting nothing. So, yeah, it helps him.
Right now, I think people are looking at it through the lens of getting something for nothing. Mm-hmm. Like having them. But I think as time goes on, and like you mentioned off the top there, Kipper, the way the play teams play, and like as further down the line we get here, people's opinions change. I'm like, wow, they should have done it earlier. Their Leafs are bad now, blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying that's the case. Mm-hmm. But people are going to measure this trade against what happens like progressively as the Leafs get worse or get better, I think.
I will say, since we sat here, my brother texts me, is Nick Waugh a good player? Is he better for Marner? Like, people don't know how this all shook out. He's just, seems like
and
a one-to-one.
I like him a lot.
He's a playoff type player.
I think he can contribute. Yep. I think he can play different ways.
Yeah, he gets 15 goals a year, you know, something like that.
I want to say 12 or 13 points or maybe 11 points in their playoff run when they won the Cup.
He is a good player. He's a third-line center and actually a good one. He's good defensively. He's good. I will say he's a little bit like Steven Lorenz in that he's very big and does not get upset.
Except for when he cross-checked. Who did he cross-check in the mouth in overtime?
Oh, I don't know.
Against the Oilers this year. Wasn't that him?
I just went back and watched his fights in the NHL to date, and there are three of them, and none of them.
Didn't he? Wasn't he the one that got that cross-checked Draisaitl in the mouth in overtime, or somebody got... This past year?
Yeah, he did.
Was him. And then we discussed if he should get suspended or not, and he didn't get suspended. He got a fine.
That's nice. Yeah, maybe he just demonstrates his frustration via stick lines.
A few more shots to maybe Florida if you get a crack at it again next spring.
I'm in on that.
Oh, so much again from the Marner conversations over the past years on, 12, 13, 13 and a half, 14. Then the rumors started about signing just a 2 or 3 or 4 year deal. Much surprised to just hear how simple it was. 12 times 8. Yeah, Rantanen. Yep.
That's a piss off for me.
For sure.
After being, all these conversations in Toronto. Like, it's really, really frustrating that it's like immediately a respectable deal. Like, he's right where he should be in terms of value. He's going to outperform his value over the length of the time. It's going to look like a great contract.
If he signed that here.
Totally different.
Isn't that maybe just a reflection of just how crazy like the media market is on particular stories once they're fixated, because it was always the perception up there was it was always about the money for him, and he's greedy, and he's me and a few others accused of driving his price up, and then all of a sudden it's just like 12 times 8.
Yeah, but he did it in the tax-free thing, right? Like, he wanted to go to a tax-free place. He went to a tax-free place, and he got $12 million, which is...
But it wasn't 12-2. It wasn't 12-5.
The equivalent of that here, right? As we've talked about.
But this is what's frustrating. It's like he's made $100 million or 70 or 80 or whatever it is, so now he cannot grind for the 0.2 or 0.4, and he did it somewhere else where suddenly they're going to have flexibility to add and keep and things that people wanted here. So
correct me if I'm wrong. Can I ask you, Kipper? Because there's that story out there that they made him a huge offer midway through this season, to make him the highest paid player in franchise history. Did that happen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and I've also gone on a record that said they could offer him $20 million a year and he won't stay.
So that's probably part of why he's going to get booed,
about the money.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, when you have to understand the perception from a fan base, Kip, when you get offered the largest contract in franchise history and you turn it down and you like leave the first second you can.
Yeah. Well, listen,
that's a tough pill somewhere
else. First of all, what's Matthews is at 3.25, right? 13.25. I'm sorry. 13.25. Yeah. So it was in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I think they would have passed Matthews if they thought he'd legitimately consider it.
Yeah.
So I believe that it was out there for him here in Toronto to go there, but he needed a change. And did you guys read his statement today?
I did, yeah.
What did you think of it?
Well, I saw two things. I saw someone say if he had spoken like that once over his time here, he'd have been perceived a lot better. And then I saw someone else run it through a ChatGPT thing, which said 100% likelihood written by ChatGPT. So there was some skepticism.
Yeah.
It was a nice note, Kip. The sentiment was good.
I tried my best, but it wasn't good enough.
Yeah, he said the right things.
Right?
Why did he never say that after a playoff series, Kip?
Yeah, it was well done on his part.
Nobody did.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
Tanev did.
Those are all legitimate questions.
Yeah,
for sure. But it just seemed like the whole era wasn't built that way.
Well, I think you've alluded to this, Kipper, and you as well, Borny, that it's just was not the right mix of guys, and the lack of accountability. These guys kind of fed off each other. But I think the way that Marner, maybe just the way he spoke to the media and just some of the stuff he said and the way he said it just rubbed people the wrong way straight up. And I don't know if it's fair. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah,
he just rubbed.
He did at times struggle articulating the way he felt, and no bigger example of that than we're treated like gods here and how people could take it right away. And
which he was 100% right about.
Right.
Yeah.
Which people took the wrong way when, in fact, that's not what he was insinuating.
But I have trouble with like how it felt like it was viewed as like succession, and these guys were like vying for the top spot, and it was acrimonious between the Marner camp to the Matthews camp about, you know, almost this race to be the guy. And I will say, seeing new Tavares deal, a nice deal you like, Marner gets a fresh start, like it feels nice that they can almost turn the page. I don't know if it's good. They're going to be worse. You know, I think until they show me they add someone top six, I think they're probably worse.
Yeah.
But it does feel like it was time.
So is this the new standard now with guys needing to come in and prove that you could leave money on the table? Like when it's all said and done, like Tavares was clearly in a position where he's just going to take whatever they gave him. He's not moving. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nyes to me is a real good sign that he left a little bit, not a ton,
yep,
for me, because he was right up there in that 8.825 and then no more on a 6-year deal. If you want to go 8 years, I could see him asking for 9 or 10. Sure. And even 9 or 10 would have bothered some people on 8 years.
Yep.
Right? So good on him. But moving forward, is this the way it's going to have to be here?
Well, I think it really got crazy with this stuff when the cap was flat. And it was all about there's this set pie for 5 years and we're all cutting pieces up and who gets what. And if we, you know, if we all take a little less pie, we can be better around it. I think as the cap goes like this, and right now, I think something like 25, 26 teams were within spending a couple million dollars at the salary cap the last couple of years. That's not going to be the case. So there will be more money for the best guys to take more money, I think, in the future. And I think there'll be less pressure on guys to take less. Now, Florida's a different animal because they're jammed up against it. They got a ton of great guys. They're trying to be a dynasty. But I do think, Kip, that there will be less pressure on guys to sacrifice in the years ahead.
So there's a lot of talk that if Marchand was going to leave Florida, like, yeah, there might have been a couple other teams that were knocking on the door with more money. We believe that the Leafs were in around $8 to $9 million for 4 years.
Yeah,
for Marchand. That's the feeling like a lot of people that I've talked to.
A lot of money leaving the table. If they were going to give him 9, he took 5.
Well, he got 6 years.
Yeah.
Right. So
this contract should immediately land them in trouble.
Goes to 43 years of age.
When was the last time a 43-year-old forward played in the NHL? Jager limped his way around at 43. Is there another one since Gordie Howe?
But Corey Perry's proving that he can knock
but
on the
Perry
door.
Is Perry older than 40?
I had to listen all.
He'll be turning 41 this year. Would he not?
So he's 40. He just turned 40.
Okay, so he's going to be under contract at 41. So how far is 41 to 43?
Perry $5 million for 3 years right now?
I have to say, I had to listen to how sketchy of a contract the Chris Tanev was one from every reporter. And that's a sketchy one. Let's keep an eye on that. And then Marchand, they're like, good job, Zito. What a wizard Zito is.
For Marchand. That contract's illegal.
Illegal.
Not a chance to play that up.
That's Ilya Kovalchuk with the Devils style.
Yeah. But if Marchand would have signed a much bigger, shorter-term contract in Toronto, would it have been accepted or would it have been, hold on for a second, why are we're glorifying these guys for taking less now and this guy comes in and scoops it all up?
It's
a fair point.
I didn't want it. I said it yesterday.
Is he exempted because of the status as a Stanley Cup champion and a guy that they needed desperately to hold Austin Matthews' hand?
I totally think that's a hypothetical you can't even play out.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, if that's what he did, he wouldn't be Brad Marchand. It would be shocking for a guy like him who's cared about winning so much to do that. And yeah, I'd have been like, well, this isn't good. You know, that extra money, those savings is gone on a third liner. I wouldn't have loved that. So, boy, 43 years old.
That's a joke.
5.25.
That's an illegal contract. And every single reporter's like, Bill Zito, the wizard, at it again. It's like,
Hand it over, Jim Nill.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I'll sign them all. I don't care. Give him 8 years. I don't care. I'll sign them all. God, I can't stand it. Drives me crazy.
Good Zito.
Thank you.
So as we speak, the networks, TSN and Sportsnet, battling it out on Free Agent Frenzy.
What are we doing?
Oh, God. If you're here with us now,
we're doing the same thing they're doing, but it's just the three of us. Yeah. We get to talk a lot more than their shows.
We also get to just throw stuff at the wall. Like, you know, it's, you know, this is not reporting. We're just talking about it here.
So it's, okay. No, you go ahead.
I was just kind of wrapping up the bow on Marner. And I guess we kind of talked about the legacy thing and how it'll be recepted or whatever, but like, you know, just how much of this situation, like what's the, blame pie here on Mitch Marner's side of things and on the management in terms of the decisions that they made. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you see it here? Because I think there's a lot of blame to go around, and letting him walk out the door for Nick Waugh, who's a good player and whatever, but that being the return when, like, you see trade rumors that it could have been Rantanen or Shea Theodore or all these different guys. Like, did he want to be here for an extended period? Like, how long was this, not tampering, but how long was did he have a foot out the door? Like, what, I'm having a tough time with the timelines here.
Yeah, probably all season.
But I don't think it's unusual.
Nobody wakes up a week before this or 2 weeks and goes, now is my time. And mm-hmm. Tavares went through the same thing with the Island. And mm-hmm. you know how I feel about that is that, you know, you used to be able to get away with ball face lying.
Well, he didn't. He didn't get away with it.
Oh, he definitely didn't get away with it.
No, but he Burned did. 9 years but, of his but, career. But he did get away with it up until it was announced. Right?
Yeah, because people.
Oh no, he's people thought he no, was no. Stay. Everybody thought he was going to stay. Yeah. He insinuated that he wanted to stay, and he's not the only one. In the past, a lot of free agents just did whatever they did to buy time. Mitch never did that, though. He never did that.
Darren Ferris, he said he wanted to stay 100 times.
No, he did not. Not during the season. The only thing they said, Darren Ferris went on record saying we're gonna play it out. We're going to go to July 1st.
Yeah.
So, tea leaves. I had always said that, is there a chance he could change his mind? I'll give anybody the benefit of the doubt to change their mind in the last second. I really thought if there was a chance that they could go to a conference final or Stanley Cup final, and he had great success, mm-hmm. that he could find a way to stay. Mm-hmm. But I also said on record, I told you guys, that if he signed for 13 million times 8 in February or March and they lost like this again, mm-hmm. where they were God. Thoroughly embarrassed in 5 or 7, mm-hmm. that guy can't leave the house.
Yeah.
After he just signed 13-8. And then where is he? Yeah.
But if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't take a full no move clause or whatever, you know, you could potentially get traded out of here or whatever, but it's just, it would have been more, I guess it ended up being the same thing, I guess, kind of, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I just, because I think, the great sliding door moments for me, and I know we're going back here, but I mean, you know, everybody's watching the other show anyway. So, but the summer where Dubas left, and there was that week after they got put out bitterly in 5 games against the Florida Panthers, and there was the week there, which was one of the wilder weeks ever, when Dubas comes out and does that press conference, it's like, I gotta look out what's best for my family, and Shanahan gets fires him, does the press conference. Brad Treliving comes in, and all within that 2-week stretch or 3-week stretch, that was the last opportunity to move Marner without a full no move clause.
Yeah.
And for Brad Treliving to come in here and be like, it's a fresh set of eyes. I got to that stretch right there for me was the turning point. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, don't you think Dubas probably would have tried to trade him at that point?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
Like Kipper, I mean, I don't know. I could be talking out of my, you know what?
Yeah, I think they had valued what he brought, and this was a team that was still doubling and tripling down, and they could not trade their best two-way forward.
Yeah.
They just couldn't.
So then a lot of it was Shanahan's, like his dream to keep all four together and have that plan work. I'm trying to look for answers here. Why he never got traded.
I think so. I think Brendan was in so deep on the belief of these four guys and needing to fail multiple times, and we all heard the stories how many times it took Ovechkin, how many times it took
Stevie Y,
and these guys are just going through the process, and I'm all in on these guys.
Yeah. Okay. And I think and if you're Brad Treliving, you come in and you have a Mitch Marner, you don't want to suddenly not have a Mitch Marner.
I think
the fresh set of eyes actually hurt them as opposed to helping them.
Yes.
I think the one thing that probably hurt the process as well into Brad Treliving's tenure here was when they had lost, I guess, two years ago, and he was first eligible to be re-signed. Mm-hmm. And on the last renewals of Austin and Nylander, it was, oh, we have to sign them, and we're going to do everything we can, and they're a big part. And it was just the message was clear that they weren't going anywhere as far as I'm concerned, and we're going to do everything we can. It's a top priority. And then when Mitch first came up for a contract renewal, it was like, can't remember the exact term, but it was like
everything's on the table.
But and it was not we need to get this guy signed. It was like, I'm not making any promises at all. And it was probably with the fact that, you know, Mitch disappointed him and he disappointed a lot of people, and maybe we got to find a way to get him out. I don't know why. Maybe he was scared to say Mitch is a big part of it and then have all the whole Hockey Leaf world go, are you nuts? Break him up. And we did it too. I did it. That year I said, it's over for the core four. Trade Mitch.
Mm-hmm. Remember.
But this exact thing is like what my complaint about the Marner era has been. This like perception that like, oh, they're not talking as nice about me as those guys. Or, you know, Jonas had the quote from Paul Marner in his article today about how, you know, no one talks about Mitch for captain and it makes our family really upset. Or there's a Schedule B bonuses that weren't played, but Matthew's got his. This, like, holy tiny resentment thing that really, so what I think is for Mitch Marner, this is awesome. This is the best thing for him because he's an ecosystem here, Kip. So go ahead. He's an ecosystem. We had his skating coach on the first year that we were here. You know, we all know the people that are around him and in his ear a lot. I think it's going to be great for him. Good contract, good team.
Yeah.
Take your wife, take your baby, start a life where hopefully it's a little quieter and he can, you know, have that joy. I think Mitch is going to have big years in the next few years. I'm not just saying that. I really do.
But and this market ultimately won't care because they'll be focused on the Leafs, as they should be. So that's great for Mitch. It's great for Vegas that he goes on and lives happily ever after.
Everyone I just mentioned.
But where does that leave the Leafs now?
Well, they need to figure out how to spend this money, you know, and that's it's going to be hard to get better.
What money? I'm not sure there's how much money is out there and where is it going?
Well, you haven't had Matias Michelli making 3.4 and Nick Waugh making 3, you know, like guys that are behind the core four who make any money. That hasn't been a thing that they've been able to do. So,
but I mean, just to use what happened today as an example, boys, you know, think about, I mean, Brock Besser goes back to the Canucks after, like, publicly his general manager who signed the contract being like, yeah, we couldn't get anything for him at the deadline. And it's like, yeah, we like basically drove him out of town and they end up re-signing him. It's like, Leafs management never said anything close to that bad about Mitch Marner. And it's like this slighted feeling. It's like if Brock Besser can re-sign in Vancouver after what they said about it, Mitch could re-sign here.
Yeah, I don't blame him for not wanting to, by the way. But yes, he could.
It's not apples to apples.
Well, it's a comparable situation.
No, it's not because Brock didn't feel like it was unsafe to leave his house. Mitch did, guys. Okay? Garbage thrown over his house, golf balls thrown, needing police some nights after the playoffs, death threats. Come on. It's like, no good. No good. He had to leave. He just had to leave. And it's not just about, I guess, I don't know.
Then I wish he had said that a year earlier.
Right?
Yeah.
If he had to leave.
So,
I mean, the fans weren't mean to him the summer before?
Good chance they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable for him, and he just had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just had enough. He just needs a fresh change.
But,
and it's best for everyone. Like I said, I think it's good.
Yeah. Okay. So, Leafs now.
Yes. How do they get
where? There is no There's no free agent to sign right now for $7 or $8 million to replace him now. Yep. So where are the Leafs? Like, Michelli, okay. I hear good things about his playmaking.
Some people are calling him Dollarama Marner.
He's, like, you know, the thought is he's competitive. I don't know where it stood with Utah. Like, I'm like,
what happened there?
What happened there? They say they had a lot of other guys that were similar, and he was just one of the many small guys that they had that found himself on the outside looking in. But he was scratched for 3 games or 13 games. He was scratched for like 30 games.
Yeah, Jordan Schmaltz, a former teammate of his, had a whole tweet about him and basically said it was like, fell in favor with the coaching staff, lost his confidence, you know, suffered a mild injury that was kind of nagging. Like, you know, one of those years where everything just goes to hell in a handbasket. I hope he's the guy he's been in the past. The one thing I do worry about is, will he get that opportunity? Because the year he had 60 points in the league, or in another year he had 50, you know, presumably he's playing first-line power play
on a team that on a terrible team.
Right. So is he going to get those looks here? Maybe he will.
Good stats, bad team guy.
Could be, but also there's opportunity here where they haven't had left wingers. Like, Bobby McMahon didn't grab a top six spot for me in the last half of the year.
I would be telling you that if you're heading into September or early October and your plan is Matthias Michelli top six, I'm terrified of what the outcome of the Toronto Maple Leafs season
is.
Okay,
for sure.
I'm looking at Mason Marchment was out there. They make roughly the same amount of money. Wouldn't
1.2 different?
Why wouldn't you go get Marchment?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that would have been way better.
Why?
Were they trying to?
Please tell me they were.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Please tell me that when you thought of his availability, you pictured him playing against the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, you know, I think you have to, at some point, you have to have talent on your team. I said on the show, I've been worried about they're getting a lot of bottom six guys and not a whole lot of talent in with Mitch out the door. At least he's someone who can make a play or two. But I get your point that it's like, I want
playmaking.
They need a hurdle.
Right?
You know, they need someone like that.
Yeah, and I'd gladly give him a chance to prove his playmaking ability, because he's got shooters in Tavares, Nylander, Matthews. Mm-hmm. And Mitch is the one that fed them, all of them, at some point, either the power play or on a 5-on-5 or a 6-on-5 when they needed a goal. Okay. That guy's gone now. Mm-hmm. So who's picking up those pieces, and what is that power play going to look like without Mitch Marner?
Get ready for Morgan Riley talk.
I do think that's maybe the most interesting question here is, are they going to address that? Like, are they going to say, hey, we need another guy at the top of the power play?
It's
the Marner or the Riley experiment. You just can't do it again anymore. You can't do it anymore. We've seen
maybe Oliver Ekman-Larsson again to try that again.
Doesn't sound he's going anywhere soon.
Riley's not.
No.
Yeah. But I just don't think he can run your top unit.
I would bet that they've had conversations with him and his representation on possibly moving. But the sense that I get is like,
no shot.
I wouldn't say no shot. I'd say not right now.
Yeah. Like, they also just had a kid. They also recently married. Like, it's, you know, a tough time to be like, yeah, wherever you want. Just fire me around.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
So he almost got to put him back on right now on the power play as the top guy. It was Marner. He's gone. Yeah. Who's left?
No. It is him.
Or Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Yeah.
That's your option if you want to do that, but I'm not sure that you want to do that. We should maybe take a break and reset.
All right.
We're back. 2 hours today. Still plenty of meat on the bone on our Leaf Hour edition of The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Don't go away.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Hour edition. July 1st, NHL signing season. I don't know. I didn't look at my computer during the break. I was just watching you eat a chocolate. Anything happening?
I'm just looking up Michael Pezzetta's hockeyfights.com page.
So?
Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
I like that he likes to fight. Ryan Reeves got here at the end of his fighting career. He didn't want to fight anymore.
He didn't want to fight anymore.
He was done.
So he's still under contract.
Yeah, he is.
So we assume that they're just going to bury him in the Marlies all season long. Pezzetta comes in and
well, I wonder if there's a team that wants him, Reeves.
Can he play?
Sure, Reeves will play anywhere.
Can he play every day?
Who? Pezzetta or Reeves?
Yeah, Pezzetta.
Pezzetta could play every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
But he couldn't in Montreal?
Fourth line. I don't know. I think it's a preference thing if it depends what you want to do. But the Leafs have the nicest guys on the earth on their team. And this is my thing with Pezzetta. It's just like, you've played against guy. You've been that guy.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, God, they have that one idiot who just stopped making eye contact with him. No, sorry. I didn't mean to call you an idiot.
I wish I had more of an idiot reputation. Maybe I would even had more room.
Right. But that's what I mean. Like, there's like, God, don't look at him because he's going to say something. He's going to punch you in the mouth.
His eyes are going to cross. His mouth is going to foam. It's going to be.
What did he fight? 9 times last year? The year before it was 9 times. Like, he's not a perfect player. He doesn't win every fight. I'm just saying, I've been dying for the Leafs to have someone who wants to be
that guy. Does that mean no room for a Tanev? Does it mean a Tanner Janot was a thought out there? That type of player is no longer needed.
He's on the Bruins.
No, I know that. So. I know that. But that type of player, are you seeking out another type of player like that? Or is it just enough now that... You know, and let's give some love to Steve Lawrence as well, who signed a 3-year deal.
Yes.
At 1.35, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the exact Ryan Reeves contract.
I think if you want to lump in Tavares and Nyes possibly leaving a little money on the table, this guy did too.
Lorenz did, you think?
Yeah, well,
you think?
He's,
I said yesterday that he'd be 4.5 or something.
Why wouldn't you, if you didn't, why wouldn't you cross over the threshold of July 1st just to see what's out there? And there were multiple teams interested in him. He did enough last year to say that he's worthy of a 3-year deal, but I think he could have pushed 1.5, 1.75, but he didn't because he wanted to be a Maple Leaf.
Yeah, and I'd love... a lot of what he could be. I actually was frustrated last year that he didn't get any opportunity up the lineup, right? There was no day.
They did once.
Did they once? Where?
He played with Matthews and Marner one game.
For what? For a game?
Yeah. Or like...
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. You know, I thought he's a guy who could probably handle a little bit more. I like his ability. And, you know, big, grade 4 checker. Yeah. He can get pucks for guys. So, yeah.
Pezzetta.
You can bury it if you have to, but you
Lawton
don't have to.
And...
Camp.
No,
Camp's gone.
Yarncroc?
Gone.
Gone.
Well, they're going to try to get rid of them.
This is the office space scene. What about Nahir? He's gone. Gone.
So that's two-thirds of the fourth line, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the fourth line.
They got a lot of guys that look good in the fourth line.
Has a chance to be fun.
So the one is perplexing to me is my guy, Pontus Holmberg.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, let's talk about this.
Restricted free agent.
Mm-hmm. How did they not qualify him?
To me, this is
Chief and Treliving not talk?
So weird.
Buddy, they didn't play camp all playoffs for this guy.
He's 6'2 or 6'3?
I don't know. He's 220 pounds. 220
pounds. He gets in people's way, and you can't qualify this guy?
He plays 60 games.
He's got 160. You've developed him. You've brought him up. You've made room for him.
He played 70 games last year.
Check to see if another team's already signed him. I would grab this guy.
He's all right. He's all right.
No. It's not that.
He's
okay. It's not, but he's okay enough, Sammy, where he has value.
Yeah.
Don't give him away for free.
If they, right now, you saw Holmberg got 1-by-1 for the Leafs, you'd be like, yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, that's a bit.
No, but it's not. He's got better numbers than 1-1.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see a team offer him today or tomorrow or, I don't know, July, mm-hmm. end of July, like 175.
Really?
He's got 160 games under his belt. He's yeah. played. He's got some value.
Yeah. I mean, and he's a good penalty killer.
And if you listen to Matthews,
I know, Sam.
If you listen to Matthews and Marner, they loved him.
Well, they think he's more talented than the opportunity. He is the single worst player around the net.
If you ask me, he's
playing with a broomball standard.
Yeah.
If you ask me, like, you know, who's not going to get qualified?
Yeah.
You know, he'd be at the bottom of my list.
Yeah.
Right? Nick Robertson is going to get qualified.
Yeah.
The only confusing part for me is the matchup of what the management thinks of him versus what the coach thought of him.
Is this because, take the toy away?
Because the coach had him in the top six multiple different times.
He played on the second line in playoffs. Yeah.
The coach and Brad Treliving are the two hockey guys making a lot of key decisions right now.
But that's it. There seems to be a disconnect on Holmberg, the way they used him versus the one thing I wonder is if you don't qualify him,
yeah,
maybe, I don't know what his QO would be for. Can they offer him less? Are they trying to do something longer? Is there some other
qualifying offer? Qualifying offer takes him to unrestricted free agency right away.
And last year, he earned 800 last year. So his qualifying would be at 800, right? So, and they just said, yeah, we don't want to do that. We don't want him. Which is crazy.
I think it's to qualify him would put him in a position also to go to salary arb. That's the trick.
Oh, and they're worried that maybe it's salary arb?
That they get stuck with.
I bet they still sign this.
$1.7 million.
Yeah.
$2 million. Like Nick Robertson, look at his numbers. He could get qualified or he can go to salary arb now.
Yeah.
And possibly look at 175 to 2 million.
You know why you're right about Holmberg in particular is when you make your case for a guy, you say, here's how much they use my client. They used him for 13 minutes per game this season, which is more than blah, 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 blah. In playoffs, here's where they played him. Here's the minutes he got.
This is the amount of minutes he's played with Austin Matthews.
Yeah. Yeah, they obviously value
this. So why not qualify him and then trade him? Why not just... There's a window where you can go over the cap in the summer.
Yeah.
And then flip him for... You're telling me you can't get a third or fourth round pick for this guy?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. You don't think so, eh?
No, yeah. I think he's... There was multiple times where I was like, oh, my God, top six again? Like, he's playing with a broomball stick. Like, he doesn't really make plays. Scored worst minutes.
My whole point
played
is...
Played 19 playoff games.
They've got no assets.
Played
they've
19 no games assets. The Leafs net in the playoffs. Never scored a goal. Like, it's...
They got no assets. They got no draft picks. Right? You just gave up a third that could turn into a second for a guy that you're hoping can look like a guy that can score you 50 points.
Yeah.
And it still might be a great bet.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Anyways,
the cupboards are empty here.
Yeah.
You mentioned Robertson. Is that an asset for them? Are they going to trade him away for a pick?
Well, first of all, can you picture a top nine with the Toronto Maple Leafs with Robertson and Michelli in the same lineup?
No.
I can. I don't like it.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Then the answer is you can't.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You can't. So there's a guy that has value.
Yeah.
He's... How many times did you say
he's going to be a
20-25 goal scorer?
By the way, he ended up with 15 goals in 69 games. I was wrong. He didn't get there. I still think it happens.
I think there's 15.
What is that, a 19 goal pace?
I think there's 15 teams out there that he could score 20 goals next year.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, if he played 82 games this year, his pace is about 18, 19 goals. Give him a full chance next year.
I know he falls down a lot and he gets bumped around a little bit.
He got way better at getting pucks back this year.
But tell me another guy in the Leafs last year that had a better release than him, not named Austin Matthews.
Yeah, there isn't one. There isn't one, and it's
and boy, does he like to release it.
He loves.
Holy smokes. Well, it's all he wants to do.
Goal scorers do.
Well, I mean, like, he could mix in a pass.
It would actually, it's like a pitcher. It's like, that's great about your fastball.
Yeah.
What if you threw one off-speed pitch?
Got a slider in there?
Yeah, what if we keep him on their heels a bit?
Nicholas Waugh is speaking to the media as we speak. Mm-hmm. He's doing a little Zoom chat. Apparently was a Leaf fan for the first 11, 12 years of his life, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was a huge fan of Matt Sundin. Matt Sundin leaves for Vancouver, and then he switches to the Habs. So, I don't know how I feel about that. Why are you not just cheering for the Habs from the start?
Well, now...
It's like a guy cheering for the Florida Panthers in Toronto. Like, why are you just cheering for the Leafs? Like, they're the local team. You know, it gives me a little bit, you know, maybe a bad trade.
You're weird.
No, it's not weird. There's nothing more attention-seeking to me than being from a city and being like, I'm an Avalanche fan. I'm a Panthers fan. It's like, oh, yeah, so you and all your buddies can root. The whole point is.
This could not have less to do with Nick Waugh, the hockey player.
Well, sure, but it tells me a little bit about him.
Okay, all right.
Anyways.
Sounds like things, I don't know. Anyway, I was going to take it away from the Leafs, but we're still wrapping up our Leafs hour here.
Yeah.
I don't even know if this is Leafs hour, but it is now.
Wow. Feels like it.
One more for me is that if you were going to try to still have a different look mm-hmm. beyond Mitch Marner not being in training camp, where would you go? Like, what would you do? What would you be trying to do
here? I want to get Hurdle out of Vegas.
How do you get Hurdle or any other legit?
They can have Cowan.
Number two. You'd give up Cowan?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that crazy talk? Am I out of my mind?
Yeah.
What do you think Cowan's going to be? Is he going to play in the league next year?
Yeah, he is.
Is he going to, a contributor?
You think he's going to be on the Leafs next year?
I do, yeah.
Ooh, that's encouraging.
I do.
Okay.
I'd be surprised. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
I do, and I think he's going to have
that changes things.
I think he's going to have to struggle for 10, 15, 20 games to reassess it.
Yeah.
But I think as long as he comes in with a good attitude and really legitimately thinks he can earn a spot, I think he's gonna be in the mix.
Okay.
Yep.
That's interesting. You know, like for me, looking at a talent deficit that I talked about with his team, he obviously is a talented guy. I know he's a worker.
Yeah.
It's tough when you're that size to be strong enough to win pucks and to get where you need to
get. He showed
young.
Signs of being okay last year, and he's that much stronger. There's signs where you can see what he possesses. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's going to be hiccups along the way, like any other rookie.
That's fine.
But I do believe that they've got a roster spot for him of one of 14.
Interesting.
An unbelievable playoff run.
Yes. Yeah.
39 points in 17.
Flipping Cowan for Hurdle right now, or a package for that guy, man, you really run the risk of bearing this organization for the next 10 years.
Yep. No, it's a good point, Kip. And, you know, maybe you have to look at some other way to make that happen. And maybe...
Ben Danford?
Well, you know, anything else that catches your eye out there, Vegas? Unfortunately, they do like the big fish, as you know, in Vegas.
But Vegas isn't in a position to be like, we'll trade one of our better centers for a prospect.
Yeah.
That's not really how they move.
True.
So it would be another probably a team that's worse that's looking to get a good young player.
William Karlsson, you've mentioned in the past. Is he good enough?
Not for Cowan.
No. Oh, no, not for Cowan, but just for
somebody.
You know, if you have to say, okay, we don't want to give you Cowan, so can we go down to Karlsson? You need someone. It's interesting. They are kind of strong at center, but they don't have a good enough 2C for me because Matthews, obviously, great 1C.
Yeah.
But then Tavares, Waugh, and Lawton are all nice centermen, but they're all 3Cs.
Yeah.
Or at least.
Does Lightning hit Nick Waugh turns into a 25-goal scorer and a 55-point guy?
If you play him between Tavares and Nylander, can you do that? Or between Nylander and... Michelli or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, good defensive conscience for those boys.
Yeah. Anyways. So it's not impossible.
Very comfortable with Joseph Woll and Stolarz again next year?
Yep.
I am, yeah. You?
No.
Oh, okay. Boy.
But we got tomorrow to talk about that.
Whoa.
On our Leaf Hour.
Whoa.
Edition.
Go get Elvis Merzlikins. I'm kidding.
I believe they call that a tease.
All right. We got another hour to go here as we continue. Free agent frenzy July 1st on this wonderful Canada Day.
Yeah, happy Canada Day, guys.
An hour later, you wish me a happy Canada Day? What is wrong with you?
Forgot.
Big Canada Day for Canada in the wake of all the U.S. hullabaloo.
We go into our second hour on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not go away. Elliot Friedman will join us next.